The Agustin Hosinga Show with your host Agustin Hosinga.
Smack the shit out your bitch ass midget girlfriend, nigga.
What's happening? What's really good? It's the Agustin Hosinga Show with I, your host, Agustin Hosinga, and this is episode number 756. That is 756 for all my Espanol speakers out there. Hola, ¿está bien? Cool. Great. How am I? Pretty good. Can't complain. Pretty good. I'm washed. I'm showered. I'm moisturized. I'm cleansed. I'm, what's the thing called? I put deodorant on. I've got some fragrance on, all that other good stuff. So I'm feeling absolutely fine. I'm feeling great. And I'm so happy to be here with you today. I actually am. And I'm just loving every minute of this situation, even though I've just flipping started, right? Cool. Great. Amazing. Obviously, I've been spending the last couple of days, weeks listening. Absolutely ingesting, taking in this new Metro Boomin and Future fucking album called We Don't Trust You. And I'm sure most of you have checked it out yourselves. And I have to say, what a marvelous, almost stupendous body of work this is. Absolutely incredible. First of all, I'm surprised that Kendrick was coming at him that hard. Drake in particular. I'm also surprised that in this particular album, which doesn't happen all the time, right? It doesn't happen all the time when Metro and Future link up. Usually people would say things like Metro's production made this, blah de blah blah blah. Sometimes in a roundabout way to kind of insult Future's lyricism. But being a Future fan myself, I've always felt like Future's rapping ability is very underrated. His wordplay, the way he constructs his verses, his melodies, his choruses, I think they're very underrated just because of, you know, he uses auto-tune in the way, and the fast stuff he also, and the content of his rap. But I think as a pure hip-hop artist, there's probably none better than Future, especially when you think about his consistency over the years, the type of sounds, his versatility in terms of who he can work with and shit. And I just think in general, the style is just completely unmatched. There's no replicating that, right? Designer came along and tried to do a thing, didn't really work out for him, but it's almost difficult. The only person I can think of who's kind of similar at the moment, oddly enough, who's doing some big things, is that kid called Huncho. Is it Huncho or something? I think his name's Huncho, right? I'm pretty sure the kid's name is Huncho. He's a new guy that's out at the moment. I think he took a picture with Drake recently, so he's getting some good little, you know, looks from the regular, for the people you need to get looks from in the industry. Yeah, that's it. His name's Huncho, but it's spelled with an X. And obviously, you know, there's some similarity there between Future, but regardless, that's the only person I can think of who legitimately is similar to Future in that way, but not really. So he's unique, special, amazing artist, really flipping love him. But I think this particular album was precisely what we all needed. We've all had a bit of a dearth in terms of Future's albums. I think the last one was that one where he's sitting behind in the back seat, right? That came out when 2022, I think, if I'm not mistaken. The one with the Thames record on it. Let me just double check this. That album that came out. So yeah, that's 2022. I Never Liked You. And we haven't really got enough of that, you know. We haven't really got enough of the other one that we can... No, we haven't really got enough of the classic sort of like DS2 version of Future and Metro in a while. So it was good to kind of get that with this particular album, We Don't Trust You. I think it started off amazing. The track number one, We Don't Trust You, title track, is a banging title track. Sinister, repetitive cyper bars, almost like he's whispering these threats to you in your ear or reminding you down the phone that he don't trust you in the most calming, you know, even killed voice you can find. That's usually the scariest, right? The guys who don't shout or scream, but say things in an almost kind of monotone way, just as like a kind of factuality. That was kind of cool. It could obviously be applied to everybody, but people are kind of thinking the opening verse was applying to Drake. And the idea that Drake and Future had this beef going on about some girl called Princess Diana, who's like an Instagram baddie, maybe a dancer, I'm not too sure. But, you know, your typical kind of racially ambiguous BBL, big boobed, voluptuous looking woman, right? And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of surprised. More so because I'm probably projecting myself on a situation and thinking, if I was those type of guys, and I was a rich, eligible bachelor type who had a preference for those type of women. And those type of women seemed to kind of flock to me because of my looks, because of my wealth, because of my stature, because of my clout. I wouldn't be fussed over them. I think when you're a normal guy, a regular civilian, I think you sometimes get a little bit fussed or preoccupied about women and shit, because you don't really have options. Again, maybe I'm talking out my ass, but I know from my own experience, when I was kind of worried about, you know, my ability to attract women or not to attract women, that was when usually I was preoccupied about it. And, you know, stuff like, oh, this other guy is going out with a girl that you liked would annoy me, or the fact that someone said no would hurt me. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff, because you're like, you're wanting to find somebody, and every time you go sound down different avenues, the door shuts in your face, or you get fucking blocked or something, all right? So I'd imagine if you get attained the level of success these guys have, and you're actually good at what you do as well, because, you know, talent and expertise and that sort of stuff also attract people, you have options. So when you have options, I just don't imagine people being pressed, you know, about who hooks up with who. It wouldn't really matter because you have options. But I guess it does at some level. Maybe at the top level, there's actually the opposite. Maybe at the top level, you almost feel like the girl shouldn't want anyone else but you because you're such a clouted up individual. Maybe that's the thing about it. But to be honest, as a fan of music, as a fan of artistry, as a fan of creativity, and as a fan of Drake and Future together, it's really upsetting for me that we're not going to get another mixtape for them or album anytime soon, considering the relationship he has with Metro and just considering how, you know, outwardly they were with their dislike of Drake in terms of this album. Because, again, it's not outright. A lot of it's innuendos and shit, but I refuse to believe this narrative that, oh, we weren't really talking about him. It's not that, but it's like, bro, you guys know what you said. You guys, you know what I mean? It is what it is. So the fans are reading into the things that these guys have said on the album, and obviously things they've done previously. And it's easy to put one on one together and make two. But obviously these guys will try and make it seem like the fans are just, you know, making it up in their heads. But you're the ones putting the stuff out there. You know what you're saying. You know what effect it's going to have on people. But, you know, it's whatever. That's another sort thing to kind of talk about anything else, right? But opening track, flipping amazing. And then obviously we need to talk about the main one that's got everybody in the tizzy, right? The main thing that's got everybody in the tizzy is, of course, the track that features Kendrick Lamar, right? And I have to be honest, I understand why people are in the tizzy. I get why people are in the tizzy with this particular track, because it is mental. Because no one expected Kendrick to be on this album, not at least me. Maybe because I haven't been keeping an eye on the leaks and stuff. I had no idea Kendrick was going to be on this. But I'm also wondering if Kendrick being on this as a quote-unquote surprise had anything to do with him leaving TDE. Maybe the leaving of TDE was to get away from the industry politics of things and be a little bit autonomous and be a little bit independent and do your own thing. Maybe TDE kind of have got too many industry links. Maybe if you were linked up with Drake on this one, they would have found out beforehand, and then maybe would have preemptively jumped in front of the strike before it landed. I don't know. But in my opinion, it came out a bit of a surprise. It came as a surprise, especially because I was listening to it and it had no features listed. So hearing Kendrick kind of jump on the track was absolutely amazing. The really sinister and crazy thing about this is that, if I'm not mistaken, The Weeknd is harmonizing in the background. So I'm not sure if this is done on purpose, but it feels like they've assembled the Avengers of people who hate Drake now. in Metro, obviously Future Now, Weeknd's had his issues, and of course Kendrick Lamar. It seemed like they purposely went out of their way to do so. Again, I could be wrong. It could be completely coincidental, but that's what it kind of felt like a little bit when he, you know, when they started. Anyway, the thing for me that I thought was really insulting, apart from the bars from Kendrick, was a bit where he's saying like, "Ah," about the J. Cole and Drake link up, right? Or the bro, you know, the brothership or the bromance they've been developing over the last couple of years. And the fact that, you know, J. Cole did a few legs of the, you know, of the tour that he's doing at the moment. And everybody, you know, and I guess Kendrick didn't react the way that everybody else reacted to it, because he obviously has a problem with Drake. But I thought that was the most insulting bit of it. The fact that you're describing somebody's friendship or rekindling a, you know, whatever, that made me laugh so much. I said to God, I was laughing. See, but I was like, Kendrick is an absolute demon for saying, like what? Like, how dare you? How dare you like reduce my friendship with another man to an R, like it's some cute thing. It kind of reminds me of that time when I was in Berghain and I was in the XXX room, right? That's the room downstairs. That's like amazing. It looks like something out of like a cyberpunk sort of movie, with like chains, with like speakers hanging off of chains, big platforms, a bar that comes out of like some early 2000s movie and shit. It's absolutely amazing. And the DJ booth is like up, it's like in a cage. It's like there's a stairs and there's like a cage platform. And that's where the DJ booth is. So you kind of look it up at them, right? It's absolutely amazing. I remember being in that room and I got talking to this like really ripped gay guy, right? Super short, but really ripped. And I think I tried to say something like a, you know me, and I tried to be funny. Tried to make like a joke or something, right? And he just looked at me and said, "Oh, look at him. Look," something like, and just reduced me to that. And I remember being so embarrassed. Like, I literally felt small. I felt like a, you know what I mean? I felt reduced to the size of an ant. So whenever another man says "ah," it kind of reminds you of that. It sparks my PTSD of like being embarrassed by this super ripped gay guy in Berghain, who kind of, you know, reduced my feckle attempt at trying to be this cisgendered, like, you know, ha ha lad guy. He was like, "Oh," while his chest was like all dripping in sweat from him dancing. And I was just like there, like scratching my beard, like, "Okay, I guess I'll go that way then." Oh, that's hilarious. So that's when I heard that, I was like, you know what? Kendrick's an absolute madman. But the verse itself, absolutely incredible. The opening line, "These niggas talking out of their necks. Don't pull no coffin out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for a threat. DOT, the money, power, respect. The last one is better. Say it's a lot of goofies with a check. I mean, ah, I hope them sentiments symbolic." Imagine, bro. "Ah, my temperature bipolar. I choose violence." Which is funny because I think he said in another bar about how he saw the show where Drake and Ye, you know, briefly rekindled a relationship for some like benefit for Larry Hoover. And he said he basically felt, I think I forgot what song it was, but he felt like, oh, he's not mature enough. He's not at a mature enough level to do that to somebody. Like, he's still on like violence mode. So I think that's funny that he kind of did that as a callback. He continues, "Okay, let's get it up. It's time for him to prove that he's a problem. Niggas clicking up, but cannot be legit. No 40 water." Ah, you know, 40, the producer. Tell him, "Ah, yeah, huh? Get up with me. Fuck sneak this in. First person shooter. The track on Drake's album. Yeah, cool. I hope they came with free switches. I crash out like fuck rap. This Melly Mel if I had to." And Melly Mel is like the original, you know, one of the, I guess you want to say the original is hip hop and stuff. So that's a kind of symbolic line. But I find it hilarious, right? So like, yeah, it's a symbolic version of hip hop or member of a hip hop group. And then if you diss Melly Mel, that's almost like a dissing hip hop itself, right? So yeah, cool. But you know what's funny about that? YMW Melly thought he was talking about him. YMW Melly, he's currently on trial for killing three of his best friends in a car and then attempted to frame it as a drive-by, which is wild, isn't it? It does make you think about, like, are police in America just incompetent, or is it really hard to prove how somebody died from a bullet wound? Because I'd imagine if somebody did kill three of his friends in a car and he was in the driver's seat, it's pretty easy to kind of like figure out bullet trajectory from how the bullets kind of exit the car to say, okay, this guy actually did it, you know? As opposed to a drive-by. If someone's driving by your car, the bullets as they come in will be completely, they'll go in a different way if they were like, do you know what I mean? So I'm not even sure why he's on trial for so long. I really don't get why it's taking so long to either convict him or to say he's fucking not guilty. Either way, he's currently in prison. I'm assuming if he gets, you know, convicted of those crimes, you'll probably be there for life and maybe a death penalty, who knows? But the fact that he's sitting in prison and been out of the picture for a while, thinking that, you know, Kendrick is referencing him in this, like, why would it, like, well, like, maybe if he's talking about, you know, knocking off his friends, like a male, that might have something to do with it, but I don't know, that was a weird thing that YMW Melly thought he was attached to, but, you know, maybe it's a good social media manager too. A good social media manager would have probably been smart enough to be like, you know what, my client's currently sitting down in jail at the moment, so I'm going to like jump on this. Everyone's talking about it and just kind of, you know, just to kind of ride the wave on the algorithm and get him a bit of a bump up because it's been a bit slow. I think that's actually a good thing to do. So, you know, big up him. Yo, big up Theodore. Appreciate you, brother.
Half the US population treats guns like Nerf guns.
Yeah. Of course. To be honest, it makes sense. It's the same like here in the UK. I'm not going to rag on the guns too much because I think in the UK here, we have a problem with knives because knives are so easily accessible too. So we treat knives like fucking, like what? We treat knives like balloons. You know what I mean? And people do a lot of balloons in the UK too. So balloons and knives are fucking everywhere. Let's continue with this one. I've got two Steves with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up. Lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If you walk around with a stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location. I still got PTSD. Motherfucker, the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Which is a bit of a bar or a send to like thingy majiggy, J. Cole, because he said something about the big three. But I love the fact that he just refuses to put himself in the same competition or in the same sort of list as Drake and J. Cole. But unfortunately, they're the same. They're in that bracket together. I don't think even the most staunchest Kendrick fans can't say that Drake isn't in the top three. Based on his run, based on the quality of his music, his rapping ability, it just is what it is. You have to decide who are the big three. You put one and two and three. Doesn't really matter, because I think personally for me, the reason why that big three is way more kind of interesting than the previous years or the previous generations is I feel like each artist offers you something different. You could basically listen to each artist and Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole, and listen to them from different types of music, different types of moves, different types of times of your lives, whatever, but different types of captions you can get from different people. So there's no real need to kind of debate about who's the best and either one. But I do love Kendrick's refusal to be listed on the same list of those kind of guys and essentially saying, no, I'm the only one that flipping matters. Cool. Whatever. It continues. What I'm like that, and your best work is a light pack. This I think is the most brutal part of it, right? Because I think this has a lot of truth to it. And I think for a Drake guy, it would definitely kind of hurt more because that's been the constant conversation around him and something that will never leave until he actually does drop a concise body of work, which he just hasn't done just yet. Again, I'm a big Drake fan, so I can speak with this kind of objectively. I still think he just needs that one concise project to come together and then everything will kind of be okay. We can kind of move away from the subject. But I think Kendrick does really make a really good point in this bar where he says, right? And your best work is your light pack. Nigga, Prince outlived Mike Jack. Nigga, bum. So suggesting that for all the dogs, the Scary Hour edition, the 6-track kind of like, you know, EP that came out, which I legitimately do think was one of Drake's best bodies of work, that little 6-track EP. But it's not enough to like say he's got a classic album. But if he would be able to, you know, make that into 10 tracks, maybe 11 or 12 max, right? And put that out and it's like consistent with him as an artist and shit, that argument completely goes away. But at the moment, we just haven't got it. But I don't think he cares, you know? I think Drake likes to just put random bunches of music that he's made during a period of time, drop them out, you know, drop them whenever he wants to drop them. But, you know, he kind of, I guess the songs are like for him, like most people are, I guess, it's a snapshot of a time in his life. And then he hopes that that will then relate to people and it'll smash whatever it may be. But I don't think he sits there and tries to construct a thematic album you know, with deep concepts or like with the message behind it. It's just more so like, hey, here's some records, here's some tunes. Some of these tunes say these particular things, some say other particular other things, some just a vibe with the feel. That's what he kind of does. He's almost like a, it's like fan service in a way, right? But I think Kendrick and maybe J. Cole, it's more of a artistic expression. Hey, I want to say this, right? I want to imbue this type of mood. Like, so that's why you're going into it. So all the songs that you make, have you're already thinking of that subconsciously. But he did prove, if he wants to do that whole like concise, here's a message, here's a theme album, he can do it. Yo, big up Wingers Dingers, appreciate you.
Drake is the musical equivalent of McDonald's.
Nah, I don't think so. I think people reduce Drake's artistry and his creativity too much. I think the musical equivalent to McDonald's is a Taylor Swift. Personally, in my opinion, a Taylor Swift, a Deadmau5, you know, One Direction when they're around, that is McDonald's music, for totally for me. That girl that's always on the charts, Tate McRae, like there's people that are in the charts now that make McDonald's music. You hear it in McDonald's, right? What are you talking about? I think Drake makes far better music than that. He's just really popular. I don't think being really popular reduces or takes away from your artistry or takes away from your creativity at all. Especially when it comes to music. I think that's a really bad way to go about doing or looking at things. It's like Adele. Adele's music is kind of boring to me, but I see why people like it. And she's immensely popular. It doesn't mean because she's immensely popular, she's not talented or good. Even Billie Eilish is a good example. Billie Eilish's music isn't necessarily for me, but it's good music. It really is good music. I personally think so. For what it is, there's no one that sounds like her. She's super talented. The production is incredible. The song lyrics are great. Visuals are almost also always impressive. And she just seems like a well-adjusted young woman as well, who's handling the fame journey pretty well. I don't think it's fair to say just because something's popular, it's not good. I don't like that way of thinking. And I think as a fan of music, you almost limit yourself to what you can listen to or the things that you can enjoy if you're only viewing it from that perspective. If it only has to be, oh, if it's not a McDonald's, must be good. It's like, bro, McDonald's makes some good burgers. Some McDonald's spots are shit. Some McDonald's spots are good. They have good fries. The shakes are pretty decent, depending on where you are. So are some of the other sweet snacks and shit they have out there. I saw flipping a picture of somebody that went to McDonald's in Japan, and they had a fucking matcha flavored apple pie thing. Like, I was like, shit, okay, cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have location specific exclusive items and shit. It's not all bad. It's dependable, right? The Golden Arches, you can see it from a mile away. Like, honestly, this whole like commercial thing versus underground thing is lame, man. Just because you're underground also doesn't mean you make good music. I refuse. Just because you're conscious doesn't mean you're a better rapper. Like, let's just judge people solely based on what they produce and their art. And then that's when we can have more interesting conversations. And the criticism could come from a way more informed place. It's about, oh, this person's like this. This person's music sounds like this. It's a kind of a lazy argument to kind of draw from, in my humble opinion. Again, I could be wrong because I'm a bit of a Drake fanboy, but that's my stance on that regard. Moving on. This point that Kendrick made about nigga Prince outlived Mike is interesting because even though he says there's no Big Three, it's only Big Me, it's kind of him also giving a little bit of a reference, not reference, it's almost him acknowledging Drake's greatness as well. He's like, okay, you're MJ, but you're Michael Jackson, but I'm Prince, right? But I think in a way it's odd because I still think that Michael Jackson is obviously, he was the king of pop. Maybe some people still say he still is the king of pop, but he was able to do that kind of level of music, have global star, like one of the probably the last global superstars in that regard, right? But I also think he was immensely underrated when it comes to the creativity, the quality of his music, the visuals, like songwriting ability, producing ability. Like, he was very, very, very underrated in that regard. It wasn't just, oh, he's very popular. No, he was popular for a reason. That stuff resonated. Artistry was on fucking 10. You know, like, people were falling over themselves to try and work with him. Like, the guy was immense. And obviously, Prince had his own, you know, situation going on as well. He had also a really, really big following when he was around. And obviously, creatively and musically, talented-wise, plays every fucking instrument and shit, sings amazingly, great visuals, messaging, right? He starts on the industry. Amazing guy. But I think this is a weird kind of acknowledgement that they're both like up there, right? And the idea of, like, you know, Prince outlived Mike as in like a reference to how good one of the other is a bit dumb, but hey, I like it, all of it. And then honestly, look at that. for all your dogs. That's the biggest, like, you know, for all your dogs buried. That's a K with all these nines. He gonna see Pet Cemetery, nigga, bum. That's the, like, I love that, Ian, right? Because, you know, LA guys, really, that guy's a bum. That guy's a weirdo. That's like the maximum kind of insults. But that is the clearest indication you need that he was definitely talking about Drake, right? He didn't need to mention this bit, right? For all your dogs getting buried. Like, that's for sure a Drake bar. So is Drake going to respond? Is he going to say anything? Probably not, I would assume. I would like him to say something personally, just to kind of bury this kind of narrative that he's scared of Kendrick or some shit. I don't know. There's different avenues to kind of come at it, right? Different type of avenues to kind of approach it. But I think personally, as a fan of music, I have to say this. I don't really enjoy the whole, like, battle back and forth on records thing. I don't really enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. Unless it's funny, like when 50 and Rick Ross were doing it, or like when Jim Jones and Max B were doing it, or like Cameron v Everybody, cool. But the whole, like, back and forth thing that fans love, I think is a nonsense. If anything, it's more exciting for the fans because it's messy and it's dramatic and it's drama field. And obviously you can opine and talk about it for hours and minutes like I'm doing now. And it kind of makes you sound informed. But I do dislike how people are so eager and ready and happy and can speak about beef in hip hop. But when it comes to talking about what they enjoy, they have nothing to say. You know? Like, can't you name me an album that you really enjoy that you kind of resonated with? Can't you name me the favorite track on a particular album? Can't you name me an artist that you watched live that was amazing? Can you name me an artist that you've kind of just found recently that you've really been impressed with? Like, what about this song do you like? What about this song do you don't like? Blah, blah, blah. Like, actually have conversations about music. No one does. It's always about who's fucking who beat up who's on the record. Like, everyone's more interested in that sort of stuff. And I think that is, like, the least interesting thing about most artists. I swear to God. The least interesting thing about most artists is who they're fucking or who won the fight or whatever. The most interesting thing about artists is, like, how they put these songs together. Have any of you ever tried to, like, produce music, to open up GarageBand, to open up fucking FL Studios and shit, and actually put a song together? Do you know how hard it is to actually construct a song, to start with a beat, to start with a, you know, a fucking drum line, right? A bass line, just to start with, to include hi-hats or not, right? A chorus here, reverb there. Like, what? Where does the verse end? How many bars is it? Like, it's really difficult. It's not easy. So the fact that these guys are able to kind of churn out music at a high level, at this sort of frequency, you know, like, that should be the conversation that we want to hear about, like, what goes on behind it, how's it, like, or maybe their kind of, you know, let me say philosophies about, like, views on the world and shit, maybe on current topics. That might be of interest, but I really could care less about who they're fucking and shit. I really could. I honestly could care less. And I would like to have more music, because the sad thing about this is that the fans get hyped for this beef, but then the fans also lose out, because now we're never going to hear an album produced by Metro Boomin for Drake. Now we're not going to hear Drake and Future doing another What a Time to Be Alive. You know what I mean? I know some people be like, oh yeah, good riddance, but I would have liked to have seen that. I would have liked to have seen another What a Time to Be Alive. I would like to have seen Drake work with one particular producer in, like, a Metro Boomin to produce an entire, you know, thematic kind of album, maybe in the same sense of how Nas did his album with fucking Hit-Boy and shit. I would have loved that, to see a trilogy of those fucking albums come out. Why not? But the fans lose out. We get this momentary thing where everyone's getting hyped on time about the beef and nothing really, you know, of artistic merit kind of comes from it. And everyone just wasted a bunch of time and money or whatever it may be. And judging on what we can read between the lines online, the beef is about nothing. The beef is about some girl. Really? A girl. Like, come on, man. We got to do better, man. We got to do better. But people enjoy that sort of stuff. It is what it is. The album itself is absolutely banging. Just as a last point on the actual album, I have to say this categorically. I know a lot of people have said in the past that Future's rapping is a bit whatever and he gets carried by the beat. But I think this album is a clear indication for me that Future's definitely, like, elevated his level of like putting together songs and shit. He's elevated for sure. Because I think personally, Future kind of carries this album. Metro Boomin's production is great. It's amazing. Especially on, like, one of my favorite tracks is Slimed Out, Magic Don Juan, Princess Diana, Claustrophobic is amazing. Obviously, Like That is fucking brilliant. There's some good fucking features. Oh, obviously, Type Shit. Yeah, Type Shit with Carti. Yeah, cool. But I think Future's bars actually carry most of this tape. Not gonna lie. As great as the producer Metro Boomin is, for once, Future's bars, and I'm not too sure if that's intentional. I'm not too sure if it's intentionally done where, like, I feel like DS2, a lot of Metro Boomin production stood out, right? But I'm not too sure if maybe this was a purposely done where they wanted to kind of like have a little bit more of a middle ground or let Future shine a bit more. I'm not too sure what the purpose of it was, but I feel like the beats took a bit of a backseat and Future was the one carrying most of his. But still, incredible album. I really recommend you check it out. We Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin, available on all of your digital streaming platforms, aka DSPs. Don't delay. Listen to it today. Next on the list, next on the bloody list, we have to talk about the Free Body Problem. Oh my God. So I'm a big sci-fi head. Most of you will know this. I read a lot of sci-fi. I watch a lot of sci-fi in the sci-fi community on Reddit. I'm flipping watching other sci-fi YouTubers talk about things and break stuff down. And I've known about this for a while. It's based on three books by this Chinese author. Forgets me at this moment. But there was originally a TV series made about it in China, in Chinese, that I didn't watch in the end. I forgot, like, I kind of just always kind of left it to the by and kind of never got around to watching it. But I did enjoy the concept of it, right? I would say high sci-fi in terms of, you know, the concept and shit, and mostly a story from what I've been able to kind of gauge that didn't really focus a lot on the characters. It's more so like high concepts of, like, you know, what would civilization do if aliens from another planet were trying to come to Earth and basically declare their intentions to kind of, you know, collaborate, work together with people on Earth or take over, and they gave people a timeline and shit. How would Earth react basically in terms of protecting itself or trying to collaborate with these other beings? And this series does amazing job at trying to simplify these really high level concepts in that book. And it does a really good job in terms of making them into, or pers- no, it does a really good job of kind of grouping together some of the people involved in the actual book. Because I think in the actual book, the characters are kind of spread across a big cast. They're not really dug in deep on their backstories, but you get quite a large cast of people. But in the Netflix series, they did a really good job in terms of kind of, you know, grouping two or three of them into one character and shit. And it's done really well. And I think one of the best bits about this sci-fi show, I think similar, my description of it will be this. I felt like The Walking Dead. I got bored of The Walking Dead because at some point I felt like the relationships and the personal drama between each character wasn't important if this, like, plague of zombies was going to be an ever present, you know, thing in their lives. I would have liked to have seen more emphasis on, like, how do you rebuild a society with this looming threat in the background. Like, what happens? You know what I mean? How do you go on living? How do you just try to make the best of the situation, knowing full well that there's these flesh eating humanoid zombies outside, right? Kind of wanting to kind of tear you apart. And it never quite did that. It just kept going in and in and in and in on the relationship. Well, I feel like Free Body Problem does a good job of laying out the premise of the story, giving you an idea on who the people are, the cast of characters involved, but then also trying to tell this, like, high level concept, or trying to, you know, give an insight to high level concepts of, like, how does society respond to this looming threat of, like, an alien civilization coming to Earth? Are they going to be your friends or foes? And it does a really good job of demonstrating just how difficult that would be to kind of, like, quell the fear of the people, stop extremism, resources, thinkings of way to kind of just, you know, stop the issue or whatever it may be. Those type of things are really hard to kind of figure out. We've all kind of seen it, obviously, with what happened with COVID and shit. I think it really did a good job of kind of telling that story. So I'm really excited for season two. Season one was only 8 episodes. Most of them like an hour long. And at first, most people like myself were quite nervous when the creators of Game of Thrones were involved in this. But to be honest, I think they got fairly lambasted, the Game of Thrones guys. Because unfortunately for them, when the series reached, what, season 4 or 5, they already ran out of source material because fucking George R. R. Martin, that fat, lazy piece of shit, has been addicted to fame in the same way that Jordan Peterson let fan of fame get to his head and he got addicted to fucking benzos. George R. R. Martin loves to get invited on a fucking panel to talk about his books and shit, but he doesn't finish them, right? He doesn't fucking finish writing his books. So the fact he doesn't finish writing his books, these amazing masterpieces, right? He doesn't finish kind of wrapping up these stories. These creators of this show had nothing to base it off from. That's why I think The Free Body Problem is so good. The Free Body Problem is good because the trilogy of books of The Free Body Problems are already done. It's already done. Right? So you can already pluck what you want from the books, kind of weave it, because sometimes what is depicted in books doesn't necessarily translate to TV series. So you have to be able to kind of, you know, make that kind of work and shit. And they didn't, right? They fucking didn't. But it is what it is. Coiler, you know what's funny? In The Free Body Problem, there's an ape. There's a scene where they have to create some sort of vessel that can freeze that can freeze people so that they can kind of, you know, they can freeze people temporarily so that, because I think the aliens are like 400 years away, so they can freeze people temporarily so that if, you know, so they can wait until the fucking aliens come. And they use a monkey to test it. And the monkey's called Coiler. I just took a screenshot of it, but I was laughing in my head off. Like, the monkey's fucking called Coiler. It's absolutely incredible. Or an ape, or monkey ape. Well, you know what I'm talking about, ape or monkey. So that's fucking hilarious. But yeah, man, I really recommend you check it out. Free Body Problem, an amazing series. I don't want to talk too much about it in detail because I don't want to spoil it. I probably did already, but please do check it out. It's an incredible, incredible series. It's on Netflix now, 8 episodes long. If you're into sci-fi, I really do think you enjoy it. If you're into sci-fi, I really, really do think you will enjoy it, but I could be wrong. Next on the list, let's talk about this. So, I was surprised and perturbed by this because I personally don't think this is that big of a news or that surprising, but I think some people online are almost a little bit pissed off about this sort of stuff. But let's just quickly talk about this because I think this is a really interesting topic to kind of get into, right? So this is courtesy of The Shade Borough. So The Shade Borough put out this post regarding an artist called Ola Sloan, who's known for doing this type of artwork you see here on the screen, where he kind of depicts like gollywog type of figures, which are basically black figures with like really big lips that were used as kind of racial tropes back in the day. Kind of racist, kind of edgy, whatever, it is what it is. And these are basically his main parts of his show and stuff, right? Or his paintings and what he does and how he depicts certain characters in the work that he puts out there. Recently, Free Yoruba Brothers by Sloan was sold for £31,750 in the UK's largest auction house, right? So Sloan has been able to sell one of his artworks, which is featured there, for £31,750. And everybody was kind of obviously pissed off about it because they were thinking, oh, these racial tropes again, bloody blah, blah, blah. Me personally, I've always felt as if, like, when it comes to criticism online, especially when it comes to art, it's fairly difficult to say something shit without sounding like you're a hater. But I think, unfortunately, probably most people online are haters, secretly. Maybe. I don't know. Because I can say, as somebody that makes art myself, as somebody that's painted for, what, I've been painting since I was like, I don't know, 10 years old or some shit, right? I took art in college, I took art in uni, whatever, right? It is what it is. I think I could speak from a point of like experience, quote unquote expertise, and say I've just never really vibed with the guy's art. I think it's a bit reductive. I think it's a little bit easy. I think it's a little bit pointless, low hanging fruit type of stuff, right? But it's telling his story. It's his perspective. It's his view of the world. It's his artistic expression. But I can say from my own taste level that I think is shit without sounding like, oh, I want his success. Because I think a lot of people online, I saw this one particular girl who does art herself, and it's kind of what you'd expect from like a, you know, for lack of a better term, from like a black artist. It's loads of like black women in front of like, you know, trees and shit, looking voluptuous and sensual and looking like goddesses, because that's why, I don't know why a lot of like, you know, contemporary artists, especially in the black field, always seem to have that in their artwork. That's the only stories they can tell about, you know, let me like have these black figures in my painting standing next to a tree or whatever. It's like, okay, cool, we get it. But I think people like that, because technically that girl from what I saw was a better painter, if you're like looking for more realistic depiction of people. She does paint people amazingly well with like oil color, like, amazingly well, right? But just because you paint better than this guy, or you can depict humans better, they look more lifelike, more realistic, doesn't mean you're a better artist. I think we need to kind of like separate those two things. Just because Rothko will paint an amazing canvas that just is like two blocks of red, doesn't mean because you can paint a photorealistic picture of Messi that you're a better artist than Rothko. It doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Art is incredibly subjective, but it's also very kind of like layered and meta and like metaphorical. Like there's loads of things going on in there at once. But if I could, if it's me, and I'm just judging art from what I see, based on the exhibitions I go to, based on the private views I go to, based on the art books I buy, based on my years doing art in college, my years doing art in uni, my years doing art by myself in my own room and shit, I can just say personally for me, it's not for me. Because I know what kind of art that I like and what I resonate to, and I can look at that stuff and not like it. But the great thing about art, especially nowadays, is that him being around doesn't really matter about the quality of his work. It's more the symbolism of it. The fact that you've got like a dark-skinned Nigerian guy, right, painting those types of figures and then be able to sell them for that kind of money at the UK's biggest auction house, that's the win. That's the W. Because what that means is that even if I think, myself, I think this art isn't good, what it means is that, oh, if his art that I think isn't good is doing that, then what can I do if I think my art is better, right? But he has to be there first, because now it gives me hope that I can now do my thing because he's doing his thing. But the girl online, this particular girl that I'm thinking of, she didn't sound like that. She was sounding more like, why can't that be me? Why is he selling his artwork for 31,000, but I can't sell a painting on my Shopify for £200 or £500? That is where your mind, that's a disconnect. And that's where I think in general, where criticism online kind of sways, it kind of gets a bit messy, which is why I think sometimes, that's probably why a lot of people say that you can't really be like a content creator and also be in the space that you're doing it in, right? So I think some people said that about like, I think stand up, about DJing like I do and stuff, like it's hard to like critique stuff without sounding like you're hating because you're trying to pursue a career in it yourself. So if I'm commenting on like, let's say Amelie Lenz, people would say, oh, it's hard for me to be objective because I'm trying to make it. And if I think she's shit, then it's me saying I wish I was her, which isn't the case. But that is how people say that, because that girl that I'm thinking of on Twitter, she definitely did sound like she was just hating and she wanted to be that guy instead. Which I think is dumb, because everyone's journey is different. And sometimes people's journey or sometimes people's place in life is to be this person. To be this person that's able to kind of put this artwork out, be seen, open the floodgates, and then kind of everyone kind of burst through. And plus the guy's got loads going on. He models. He's part of that whole creative scene. Like he's got whatever with, what you call it, Cortez and shit. They're all kind of loosely affiliated. He's got his own coffee shop. They do like draw, like I went on their website, they do like live events and do like live painting and drawing stuff. Community base. He's always showing off his family online, which is great to see. Like I'm with my girlfriend, my wife, my kid, good family values, all that sort of stuff. And to be honest too, let's be honest, if art is meant to be personal expression, if art is subjective, if art is about telling your own story, doesn't this guy kind of look like the gollywogs anyway? Anyway, he's called himself ugly online. Maybe because that's what he got told when he was younger and shit, and he's got a complex around it or whatever, insecurities around it, so he kind of speaks about it in general, but he kind of looks like one. So why not depict yourself in your own paintings and also try and talk about a message, try and take away the power of the gollywog. Try and take away its racial, racist, insulting, abusive, hurtful symbolism and try to kind of own it. Try to reclaim the fact that people called you ugly in school and said you wouldn't amount to anything. And now here you are selling paintings for 31,000. You're up. You're winning. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It really isn't. It's just whether or not you like it or not. Me personally, I think it stinks. I'd never hang this shit on my wall. I'd never put it in my gallery. But I'm happy for him, and I think him being here is proof alone that you can make it too. So all these guys and girls out there that are painting pictures of like black women standing in front of fucking palm trees and shit and complaining that they're not the ones who are up there, bruh, I don't know, improve your paintings. Maybe think, you know, juxtapose these stuffs a bit more interesting. Do you know what I mean? Instead of having a fucking black woman standing in front of a palm tree, maybe have her standing in front of a group of NF white bald guys running towards her and she's just smiling and not fucking caring. I don't know. You know, throw something a bit interesting. Let's mix it up a little bit. Let's not do everything super realistic. Let's do maybe some nice expressionism, right? Some nice cubism, right? Let's maybe morph, let's maybe twist the, you know, what a woman's meant to look like in your eyes, or maybe how it looks like online. Let's mix it up a little bit. Maybe that's when you can get as successful as this guy, because all this other, like, oh, I wish I was him stuff online, it's dumb, it's bullshit, it doesn't really go anywhere. And if anything, that sort of mindset, in my opinion, is what losers do. Losers always try to externalize. Oh, he's doing this. Oh, no, no. It's like, there's not one spot. There's not only one wall in the world to hang pieces of artwork. Just because his one sold for 31,000 doesn't mean your one can't sell for 31,150. Just because he sold for one for more than yours doesn't mean he's better than yours. It's just what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous. It's super dumb. But maybe it speaks to the crabs in a barrel mindset that exists in art in general. Because the contemporary art world, especially in the UK, is very white. Yeah, it's very kind of whitewashed. It's very controlled by the galleries. Maybe that's why. Because of that, there's limited opportunities. And everybody feels like if that one person gets in through the door, I can't get in myself. But that's not how it works, personally. I don't think so. Because him just being around, him being allegedly a Nigerian-British artist, which I always heard that kind of term. People always kind of, you know, especially English people, they always do that. It's never just British. It always has to be like, you know, where you're, whatever, cool. Nigerian British artist. This guy's come from Nigeria to the UK and has somehow infiltrated the art world. If this is not a sign that anything is possible, especially doing this, that's the thing. Think about it this way. He's infiltrated the art world on his own terms doing this type of artwork. If you think this is terrible and he's not that good, then why don't you go and do it? Why don't you go and do it? And if you're not doing it, maybe you're doing something wrong. It's not to do with him, not to do with the auction house. Stop being petty. Stop being flipping jealous and shit. That is ugly. Really is ugly. And if anything, it takes away the ability for people like myself who just want to critique the art and not the artist and shit, and just say, hey, do you like this, yes or no? And I can say no without it sounding like a hater. But because I say that, or because they say what they say, when I say what I say, it kind of sounds like what they said, you know? Because if anything's not praise, it's kind of hate, internet speak, which is fucking ridiculous, because people think, oh, if you like something, you should talk about it. If you don't like something, you should not talk about it, which is fucking dumb. But he did respond as well. His response was a bit dumb, to be fair. His response sounded like let me read it to you. So artist Sloan responded to criticism of his work that sold recently. Here's what he said on the Shea Barra. You lot are fucking neeks. You know I'm going to make sure my son and girlfriend never see poverty or stress. I'm going to see to it that all of you that are praying on my downfall so you can witness my family suffer will see. I will put it in your faces every day. Watch me. Doesn't that sound like a bit like a juju curse or something? Is that juju? Or is he just saying, watch me stunt on you, watch me get money? What is he doing? Is that a curse? Is that like a hex? What is he doing there? Huh? I will put it in your face. Like, what is he actually saying there? Is he saying, hey, watch me stunt on you? Watch me buy another Range Rover Sport. Watch me open up two more coffee shops. Watch my kid dripped up in more designer baby clothes. Like, what is he actually saying there? That looks a little bit wild. But I also understand him, because the timeline was going crazy. Like, all jokes aside, I understand his response, because if you saw the timeline when this guy was the topic of conversation over the past weekend, that's why people say the UK is bad vibes. The UK is bad vibes because the timeline was, oh, this art isn't good, but like fucking essays, tweet essays everywhere. People had so much to say. And it's, again, that's why proof that in general, the UK is bad vibes, and you can't really like thrive and live free the way you want to. You know, you can't really flex your muscles the way that you want to. It's just, and I'm sure, I don't even call it crabs in the barrel. I just think it's just pure hate. This country is just full of fucking haters, from our government, from the royal family, from the police, right? From fucking local councils. Everybody's hating. Everybody's a fucking hater. That's what they are in this fucking country. That's what I'm seeing online, because All you had to say was, rah, I can't believe this guy sold that shit artwork for 31,000. But props to him, a young black man in a contemporary art world, which is amazingly whitewashed, making it, especially in the UK, knowing the barriers that we have and shit, right? Especially looking the way that he does, sounding the way that he does, being from where the country that he's from, he's made it. That's an impressive thing that he's done. Congrats to him. Salute to him. And that's also all the motivation that I need to go and do my art. That's all it should have been, or to do my own thing. It shouldn't have been a fucking, you know, a deep dive into this guy's background and all this shit. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, come on, man. Big up NJ Ranger. You are spitting. It'd be better to see Cubism, Impressionism, Pointillism, and what have you. Same thing as Black Woke recasting. It's $3.99 rather than creating original stories. Is that exactly, NJ Ranger? Like, there just needs to be, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I've always believed in extreme ownership. And I think even more so in a creative field. I think there is easy. It's very easy to just point the finger at somebody and say, why aren't institutions letting me in? Why aren't these people giving me permission? But unfortunately, nowadays, with the power of this little thing here, of this little smartphone that we all have, different versions of it, an Android, an iPhone, whatever version you have, even using a tablet, right? Even these days, you can get emulators that you can have on your desktop to use as a kind of a phone, right? It's impossible nowadays with this gadget in your hand to ever say something is impossible. It just is, because we have the access to absolutely everything that you want. Is on this little fucking gadget here. We all use the same phone, the same platforms. It's the same thing. So if something isn't working for you, I personally think you have more control over it than you actually think you do. The gatekeepers and shit don't really have much control over you anymore. Everything's kind of been somewhat democratized, for better or worse. The barrier of entry's been lowered, for better or worse. But it means there's no more excuses. Now, you cannot say anything else about, oh, this person. Nah, brother. No. If there's diversity hires going around, why can't you also be a diversity hire? Why does that have to be one? It can be as many as you want. If there's a lack of representation, why can't you be the person representing for people? Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to always kind of look inwards, because you're the only one that can change you, as opposed to trying to change whole systems of governments. Like it's almost impossible to break the hold, the stranglehold that galleries have on the art world, or the art industry, or the art market. It's almost impossible to break that fucking grip that they have on, you know, how to get into certain galleries and shit. But guess what you can do? You can make your own art. You can set up your own online gallery. You can fucking hire a pop-up space, right? And these days, pop-up spaces are not that much money. If you save up a couple, you know, what you call it, amounts of money from a month that you would have paid to buy a bit of weed or grams of fucking ket, you can probably save money for a little pop-up studio yourself. There's no excuses anymore. You can do it online. You can do it fucking in physical. Like, whatever you want, you can do. It's just about you trying to put your foot forward, as opposed to waiting for someone to give you something and hand you a fucking, I don't know, like a scholarship, a bursary, whatever it may be, to do a certain thing. Save your money. Do you know what I mean? Work a bit, save your money, and then kind of go from there. But, you know, unfortunately, people don't think this way. But again, big up Ola Sloan. You know, again, appreciate him just being around and representing for us black folks in the art world. It's amazing to see somebody this young creating this type of work be able to succeed on his terms, because this never happened before in the past, by the way. It's the same thing like with UK music. UK music back in the day had to kind of cater to the general public, had to kind of cater to the white audiences. Nowadays, you're getting guys and girls on fucking records talking about how they fucking slaying their ops, how they poking up this man, poking up that man, right? And it's like pure unadulterated music from the hood that's been able to kind of permeate into the charts. That never used to happen before. And that's an amazing thing to see. It doesn't mean because they're doing it or that shit. No, no, no. No, it means if they can do it, sometimes with a fucking mask on, sometimes with the same type of beat, same type of lyrics, not really going anywhere, and it's still successful, that means you can do it too. That's all that it means. So happy to see him be successful. I get the criticism of his art because I don't like it myself, but it doesn't mean because he's doing it, you can't do it too. Just get better, just do more, and stop fucking complaining. That's what I would say. Stop fucking complaining. But again, what do I know? Moving on, let's play this video. This is courtesy again of the Shade Borough. It features the one and only HS Tiki Toki. I quite like HS Tiki Toki, I'm not going to lie. I quite like him. I know he's very brash and he's very obnoxious and whatever. And he plays this kind of like, you know, what do you call it? Chad bro, meathead type of persona really well. But I think he's a lot smarter than he lets on. I think he does that on purpose to kind of, you know, to get himself on the algorithm and make sure he's kind of popping, because that's his kind of game, to be out there in public and kind of be like a face, you know, for lack of a better term, an influencer. So you kind of got to do whatever you got to do to keep yourself in a news cycle, quote unquote. But I like the guy personally, because I followed a lot of his content when he was in Ibiza and shit with his mates and stuff. And it was quite cool to see that side of, like content creators and streamers, where these guys are going to like these places. Cause I don't know, maybe because I don't watch a lot of that Miami content with the US guys. So it's great to see more from an English or UK perspective, you know, be for somewhere that I'm obviously more familiar with, especially with the electronic or dance music sort of thing seen there. And I enjoyed him going out there. One particular night, he went out to some place in Ibiza and he was surrounded by all these guys, right? They're all content creators, kind of clout chasing off him. Cause that was good to see. I was watching the HS Tiki Toki stream on Kick, and he had all these guys around him that were clearly trying to clout chase. And it was so funny to see the switch, because I was watching the whole stream. It was like a 6-hour stream. Hour one, they were kind of like, you know, enjoying the vibes. They were sitting on these fucking beds that they have around the pools, you know, in Ibiza. You kind of have to pay an obscene amount of money for these like bed couch things that you get your table and drinks with, whatever. And people are just standing there looking pretty, you know, really in the pool, but they're all kind of chilling, talking, having a good time in hour one. Then fast forward to hour six, when the bill comes, suddenly everybody's scratching their head. Everyone's on their phone. Everyone's going to the toilet. Everyone's talking to some girl. It was so incredible to see how fucking pathetic and clout hungry and exploitative and just beggy those guys were hour one. And then hour six, when the bill come, HS Tiki Toki had to pay the whole thing. And they were like struggling to like try and split a certain bill for a bottle of champagne. He was like, bro, I paid for the fucking bed. I paid for all the drink. Like, just pay for this one thing. And they're all kind of struggling and kind of scratching their heads. I was like, wow, bro, that world is full of some absolute exploitative, you know, pieces of shit. So I love that side of things. Anyway, next, Tiki Toki crashed his McLaren. Tiki Toki crashed his McLaren, and I swear to God, this might be one of the funniest videos I've seen in a long bloody time. Big up the Shade Barrow for including this absolutely incredible piece of content, right? We're gonna play it right now. Bear with me 1 second as I kind of get it up, because this is incredible work. Incredible, 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 incredible work. And I want to know from you guys watching and from you guys listening, what do you think is going on here? Do you think it's really difficult to drive these luxury supercars? Lamborghini, Porsches, McLarens. Do you think it's really hard to drive them? Or do you think most guys that drive them nowadays, these new rich kids, just don't know how to handle that kind of power? What do you think is going on here? Because HS Tiki Toki got into a car crash with his guy, General G. General G, who I didn't really know before, but I kind of was more familiar with him after my couple of interviews with Kat Baker. Big up the lovely and beautiful Kat Baker. And she obviously did a show, an episode of him, loads of drama around that. I think we spoke about it in one of the interviews that I did with her. So definitely check out Kate Baker's YouTube channel. And you can see the interview I did with her there where we speak about it. But they get into a car crash and it's fucking hilarious. Let me play the video for you and let me know what you think in the comments or whatever. What do you think is going on here? Do you think the McLarens, do you think these supercars are really hard to drive? Or do you think these kids who are getting this crazy amount of money so early on in their lives just don't have enough experience to kind of drive these type of cars? What do you think is going on?
HS, I bought this with my half a mil when I sold my Richard MLA. What do you think of my new
whip? What, this is your new Euros?
Yeah, because I sold my Richard MLA.
I like how you put the Louis things on for doing the music bit now.
I dress like this all the time.
Trust.
To do the music bit, trust. Now I'm going to be whipping this around like no other, trust. All the tings are going to chase us down, innit? In this Bundermobile, trust.
HS has walked off, left his McLaren and walked off. Aye, General, you good?
I feel something cracked, bro.
Are you alright?
No, I feel.
Aye, that's not trust, man.
HS, I bought this with my.
So, what do you think is going on there? Do you guys hear that? Did you guys hear that? Did you guys see or hear that? What do you think is going on there? So before the first clip, they're sitting in the car. HS Tiki Toki sitting in the car. They're talking, you know, talking big about the car and shit. And then it pans and you see the car, or it kind of skips ahead and the car, the whole front of it's absolutely, you know, decapitated. And HS Tiki Toki is walking off and General G is writhing around on the floor while somebody tries to massage his chest. What do you think is going on there? What do you think is going on there? Because this is fucking wild. I'm like, do you honestly think these guys just have no ability of driving these cars, don't know how to handle the power, similar to like, you know, Brendan Schaub crashing his fucking, or flipping his TRX truck because he thought he could just like stationary, you know, start fucking, drifting or whatever, or doing fucking donuts and burnouts in his car when he's got a 4x4 that's raised and got traction control, you know, turning the steering wheel and then pressing the fucking, your foot down on the throttle, is only going to fucking make it flip. But regardless, in this regard, I wonder what's going on there. My personal thing, most likely, is probably it's a bit of both. I don't think nowadays supercars are made how they used to. I don't think a supercar is made the way like an old, what's that, the Ferrari on the cover of that fucking Dave and Central C EP thing they put out, right? I forgot what model that particular Ferrari is, but I'm thinking that kind of era Ferrari. Those Ferraris were made differently. They were kind of basically made like legitimate, you know, racetrack cars, like, you know, crazy transmission, hard to handle, like just, you know, a car that only a real driver could know how to drive. So I think those supercars aren't made like that anymore. I think supercars nowadays are made to be driven like daily. You can have them as your daily driver. So I think the engineering, the control, the way that it turns, the way that it handles, is kind of geared towards people that are going to be driving it regularly around, right? And I think they even kind of account for people that might drive in, like, you know, rural towns with narrow roads, metropolitan roads with kind of speed bumps and shit. So I think most luxury cars are probably not that hard to drive. They're obviously very fast, very powerful, but I don't think they're as hard to drive as they were in the past. So my theory is that these guys are just really shit drivers. Simple as that, which is understandable because they're all super young, most of them, and they're all attaining a kind of wealth that you usually only get when you're like older, right? Most super rich people, unless they've inherited money, usually only have it late in life because it takes a long time to acquire that money, build businesses, whatever. It's not really normal to kind of like have loads of money when you're like really young. But some like people do it, entrepreneurs, athletes and shit. But these streamers nowadays are going from like being college dropouts, living on pizza and fucking Pepsi, to suddenly becoming, you know, 20,000 a month earners and shit and plus, right? A million, and, you know, that's a lot of money. And with that kind of money, these cars become like playthings. They become like Action Mans. They become like Hot Wheel cars, basically. That's what they are to them, Hot Wheel cars. He could probably buy another McLaren next month if he wants to. Maybe tomorrow, even if he wants to. So maybe that kind of plays into it. So you're not really taking your car that seriously. You're not really respecting the power. You're just kind of fucking around. But the walking away from the scene of the crime is fucking wild. Unless this is a skit. Maybe it's a skit, that could also be a thing. Or maybe he was talking to somebody and they just said, hey, like, actually go away. Maybe that's part of the thing as well, right? I think if you're actually drunk or whatever, or actually, no, if you actually leave the scene of the crime, you can't get breathalyzed, right? So the cars are registered to him. If they're going to arrest him or want to talk to him anyway, they can go talk to him. But, you know, and if you want to get insurance details, they'll probably find him anyway because he's a public figure. But I think if you walk away, it kind of exonerates you from having to maybe comply with a police investigation and shit. Maybe. Because I guess, you know, time has passed now and any evidence that they kind of get after the fact would kind of be admissible in court. I don't really know. Either way, leaving your friend lying there on the side of the road after you crash your car is a fucking horrible move. But, you know, in the world of content creation, this is just another day in the park. It's working for them. It's getting a lot of traction online. People are talking about it, just TikTok again on a Monday at the start of the week. Great way to kind of head off into the rest of the week. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to be happy about that type of thing going forward. Next on the list, we have to talk about this. Because for me, this kind of upset me, I'm not going to lie. Just because I think in general, with young women out there, there needs to be a little bit more of an honest conversation around this whole like fly out culture. Because I've never understood it in the same way that I've never understood like paying for pussy. I just think in general, regardless of how much money I make, there's never going to be a scenario where I'm ever going to pay anybody to have sex with me. Ever. Ever. I'd rather just be like, you know, celibate. I'd rather just have a really long dry spell than ever be the person that pays for sex. It just makes absolutely zero sense to me. Zero, zero, zero. Because I think for me personally, maybe other guys are different, but part of the allure of getting to know somebody in the hopes of maybe having sex with them sometime down the line is the fact that you get to know the person, the almost, the quote-unquote chase, That's actually the most interesting part of it. The one where you're like, not too sure to send a text, not too sure to DM, not too sure to say this, not too sure to ask them if they want to go out with you. All those things are kind of the most interesting part of the journey before you get to be with somebody. Removing that and just going straight to the sex is fucking wild. And also, just the fucking complexities of it always fucking beg on my mind, always kind of boggle my mind. Like, what, you link up with somebody, what, a hotel room in your house, and you're just nervously sitting there waiting for them to turn up, and then what, you have this awkward conversation around like cash or card, what do you want, you know, is this your first time, have you showered, do you have protection? Like, you have this weird, like, almost business, like, transactional conversation around this intimate moment. And it's like, I wouldn't want that. Do you know what I mean? Personally, for me, I wouldn't want that. I'd want some, at least some sort of like, you know, we've not, there's like a build up to this sort of stuff. That's what I would kind of look forward to. And anyway, apart from that, I just think as a girl, women in general just should be a little bit more wary of being so open and being so available to the idea of like strangers flying them out. I've never understood this. The flyer culture for me has been one of the things I've never really kind of got my head around. Why is it perfectly normal for girls to accept propositions from random guys to fly them out? Like, why does that make sense to you? Why would you let a guy fly you out? Because in my opinion, especially how I know how men's brains think, because I'm a man myself, I'm a red-blooded cisgendered male, I know that in my head, if I was ever to do that, then I would be in my head, even me, a sensible, well-adjusted, non-creepy dude, even I would think, if I flew you out, you're giving me something. I got to leave you with something. You know? Denzel fucking Washington meme. I'm going to leave you with something. That's what even if I was that guy, I would be thinking that. So I can only imagine what the most misogynistic, you know, chatty guy would probably think if he's paying for your flight, paying for your land transport, paying for your stay, paying for your food and your drinks, what he's going to be thinking with that kind of deal organized or kind of, you know, arrangement you have. So let's play this clip of these girls talking, because for me, this is very sad to see girls this young saying this type of thing, because it's almost like they're normalizing prostitution when prostitution should be a way of life for a certain group of people. But it shouldn't be something that everybody does. In the same way, not everybody should get into porn, right? It's like, if it's for you, it's for you. But it should be something that's like, oh, this is like a viable, safe way to kind of make money or to kind of like, you know, live your life. It's like, because it's really not, in my personal opinion. But hey, what do I know? Let's play the clip of these two young girls talking about the beauties of people flying them out.
Okay. If you guys think I should go to Mexico a few days after I get home.
With a guy.
No.
Okay, now. With a guy.
Let me know.
A guy that she met.
He's watching this.
He is definitely.
And it's not just him.
It's with some friends and a guy.
But I don't like know him like that. So we could end up hating each other and then it's awkward.
They've actually never talked.
Actually never talked in person. So I could go and it could end up being.
They're saying go.
Is that
if you're safe? She's definitely safe.
I'll be safe, but I'm just thinking
friends will be there. But she just doesn't know him. And like
one friend will be there. The rest of the people I don't know.
But it's one really good friend. Counts for five.
Yeah. I still know him, so it could end up bad, and then I'm like kind of stuck there.
But he's tall. And pretty good looking, so she'll be fine.
But what if he's like not my vibe?
Anyway, that's the extent of the video. Big up Chris Mack. There's no context needed on this one. This is just like a random video of two influencers, cute girls online. From the tag, it says someone called Nolila Ramirez, just talking about, you know, openly asking their fans, should I get flown out by this person who wants to fly me out? And obviously we get more details going on with it. My own main point of just highlighting this was that I think there needs to be a bit more caution thrown to the wind around the whole flyout thing. The normalization of letting a stranger that you don't know fly you out is weird, especially when you pair it up with what that girl said. She says something like, oh, we haven't even spoke yet. And in person. So this girl already knows that talking to somebody online via DMs isn't really getting to know them. You only really get to know somebody properly when you actually have a conversation in real life. Maybe even on the phone, whatever, right? You get to see how they move, how they act, how they react, how they are in social situations. That's how you get to know somebody, right? Over a period of time, right? It takes some time. It takes a few meetings and shit to get to know what somebody's like. So the fact that she's acknowledging she doesn't know this person, because even though they're spoken over just DMs, why then would you go on a trip with someone you don't know? Because the thing is, you wouldn't do this in your friendship. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if you were going on a holiday with your friend and they said they're going to bring a work colleague with them as well. It would be a bit weird. You might not even want them to do that. You know what I mean? Or you might not be on even going anymore because a work friend's going. You don't really know who the work friend is. Or you wouldn't just go randomly with a work friend that you just met, you know, or you haven't met yet or whatever on a holiday. I mean, it doesn't make any more sense either. So I think there needs to be a little bit more caution thrown to the idea around girls just getting flown out. I don't think they should be all running towards it. I understand the allure of it. I get it. If you're a young, cute girl, there is almost like a bit of a sort of a ticker, a timer going on for your attractiveness anyway, and your viability and your appeal to people. So maybe cashing in on it, if you can now, is beneficial. But you can cash in on easy ways where you don't have to leave your house, like OnlyFans. You can set up an OnlyFans and sell sexy pictures of yourself and not have to leave the comfort of your house and be able to rake in the dough and kind of profit from your beauty and your looks and shit without having to touch or go and see anybody. Clearly you can do that, but going out and meeting a man like in another place is just insane to me. It really is fucking wild how people can be so trusting of this, because I don't know about you, but holidays sometimes they can make or break friendships. You can go on holiday with somebody and it makes your friendship. It kind of solidifies it. You can go to holiday with somebody and it ruins your friendship with them forever. And you're like, I'm never going to holiday with this person. I don't actually see you the same way anymore. There's a common meme goes around about, you know, girls in Miami going on trips together with themselves and, you know, and never coming back as friends. And it's true because, you know, it's a holiday. You get to spend time away from your creature comforts in a place where you're kind of, you know, attached to the hip with this person. You get to see them for their best and for their worst. So I don't know. I just personally think it's a bad way to go about doing things. And I wish that young girls would have a little bit more caution to the wind when it comes to these type of proposals and not be so trusting to strangers, because you're just opening yourself up to a whole lot of nonsense, especially just the expectation side of it. The expectation side of it is the worst thing. Like, it's already awkward going on dates with people anyway, right? It's already awkward hooking up with people you know, on like one night stands. It's already awkward doing that sort of shit and kind of giving yourself to all these random people and having nothing really to show for it. You know, and having them have a little bit of yourself all over the place, right? Whether you're a man or a woman, being a whore has its fucking pluses and negatives. It's a little bit odd just to meet a stranger for the first time when you're going on a holiday. That level of expectation it's almost like, you know, when girls can feel somebody staring at their bum even when they're not looking. It must feel like that when you're on that sort of link with somebody that flew you out. You're eating dinner and you could just feel this guy just waiting to kind of like take your clothes off. You know what I mean? He's waiting to take you upstairs like ASAP. He doesn't even want to eat. You can tell he's just eating for the fucking, you know, just to be courteous, but he's not even hungry. He's hungry for something else. That must be like a stench. You can smell it. The same way a girl can like smell if a guy is looking at her from 60 feet away. Imagine like, ugh. Like, imagine what that must be like facing this guy as he's fucking trying to dig into his filet mignon, but he's imagining eating your filet mignon. Do you know what I mean? It must be flipping wild, but I don't know, man. Young girls are too trusting. Thank God I don't have daughters. Thank God I don't have daughters, because I don't know how I'll deal with something like this. Like, if your daughter's coming up to you and saying, Dad, some guy's flying me out. Or worse yet for me, if I was a dad, if I was a dad of daughters specifically, would be if my daughter didn't tell me, didn't think she could trust me by telling me that some guy's flying her out, let alone, right, some girl, my daughter's coming up to me and saying to me, hey, Dad, this strange man from Dubai, this strange man from Minnesota wants to fucking fly me out. I'll be like, no. I mean, what do you do? Because if you say no, she's definitely going to do it now. And if you say yes, you're encouraging her to be a fucking world-traveling whore. You know what I mean? You don't want your daughter to be a world-traveling whore. You know what I mean? She has fucking more fucking stops on her fucking whore card, then, you know, Drake has on these fucking world tours. It's like, no! But, you know, it is what it is. So big up those two young girls. Hopefully they figure it out. Hopefully they figure it out. Moving on. We need to talk about my guy Yuri. We have to talk about my guy Yuri. I haven't covered Yuri, ex No Jumper employee, now part of the reconnected cast of podcasters and video people online, and now also has his own channel where he also streams on Kick and shit. I haven't spoken about this guy in a very, very long time, but he has a very dysfunctional relationship with his girlfriend, a very odd, a very toxic, a very possessive, a very jealous based, you know, relationship with his girlfriend that's very odd and very almost abusive in the way that he kind of treats his girlfriend and he kind of talks to her and shit. I don't like it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big fan of it in the slightest. And I wish he kind of wouldn't act that way. But, you know, the guy is the kind of the way he is. Now, there's an interesting video I need to play for you here where Yuri finds out there's a video online of his girlfriend, Riley, talking to some other dude doing content and shit. Like, she's sitting down on the couch doing story times. Yo, big up Abe Martinez. Appreciate you, brother.
Once on vacation with the best friend of 10 years. Went home alone. We had a fistfight in Vegas.
There we go, Abe Martinez. Thank you. Thank you for clearing it up. Thank you for enforcing or reaffirming my point where I made there. With a best friend of 10 years and he came back friendless. If that can happen with your friend you've known for 10 years... on vacation once. That's the thing. That's something people don't realize. You only have to go on holiday with somebody one time, right? People say you can't make a first impression twice. That's very true, because all you need to do is to go on holiday with somebody one time to know if you're not your friend or not. One time only. That's what you need. One time, and you'll definitely know, oh shit, this guy can't be my friend anymore. So big up Abe Martinez. Appreciate that comment. Really, really do. That does speak a lot to what I was saying previously. So, let's quickly get this video up with Yuri going absolutely mental when he finds out that, or not reacting the best way, when he finds this old video of his girlfriend Riley doing some YouTube content with another guy. So bizarre, because they weren't even together at this time. Why this bothers him so much is beyond me. But obviously this guy's got a fragile ego, very insecure. And I'm almost willing to go as far as this. I'm willing to go as far as saying that I don't think Yuri's had any experience with girls, or has had much experience with girls. Most likely, Riley took his virginity, or maybe Riley's his first long-term relationship, but he hasn't got a lot of experience with girls. You can just tell. It's almost academics-like how you can tell with guys. Like, guys know if a guy, you know, is confident or has options or whatever it is with women and acts a certain way. Guys that don't, you can just smell it. You can tell from how they act. And Yuri gives off that kind of vibe of somebody has had a lot of experience with girls. Unfortunately for him as well, it's kind of unlucky for him in Yuri's sense, because his first proper girlfriend is Riley, who's an attractive girl. So you don't have much experience with girls, and then your first girlfriend that you get is a quote-unquote baddie. It's kind of hard to handle, because even regular guys who get loads of women can't really handle baddies, because, you know, attractive girls come with their own problems or come with their own issues or come with their own things that you have to kind of deal with yourself as a man, right? So imagine if you've got no experience and the first woman that you hook up with is somebody that a lot of guys would want to sleep with as well. It's a hard thing to kind of wrangle, do you know what I mean? So let me play this clip for you, because I think this is absolutely hysterical how Yuri reacts to this video. And again, this video was filmed in, like, what's the caption say? 2015. This video was uploaded on YouTube in 2015. Yuri didn't even know this girl existed then, right? No, this has nothing to do with him at all, but look how annoyed he gets at the thought of his girlfriend recording some content with a YouTuber. Absolutely insane how immature this man is. He has the emotional intelligence or range of a fucking 10-year-old. Even worse than that. It's absolutely hilarious. Please watch this and please listen to this clip, because this will blow your mind.
Yeah.
Just Riley? Just keep an eye on Yuri in the top right. Keep an eye on Yuri on the top right of the screen. Keep an eye on his face. Look how annoyed he is that this woman, his girlfriend on the left-hand side, Riley, is sitting next to a guy in 2015, by the way. We're now in 2024. This has nothing to do with him. I think they've been together, Riley and Yuri. I'm going to say they've been together anywhere between 2 and 4 years. So this is way before him. Nothing to do with him. Look how much he's squirming. And also, by the way, I don't want to judge anybody. I don't want to prejudge. I don't want to put out any labels. But the guy looks kind of gay. So why do you care? The guy looks kind of gay. Again, he could not, because you have to imagine 2015 fashion is different. People kind of looked a bit different, you know, whatever. But he looks kind of gay anyway. So Yuri is so insecure as a man. So insecure, even his girlfriend sitting next to a gay guy is too much for him to deal with. Imagine how absolutely pathetic you have to be that you can't even let your girlfriend have a gay best friend. Imagine the fragile ego. Imagine the fragile masculinity. Imagine how insecure you have to be that your girlfriend can't have a gay best friend. What the fuck is wrong with you? It's one thing not to want your girlfriend to hang out with other boys, other men who are just like you. Cool. But a gay guy? Huh? Oh, anyway, I'm not going to stop anymore.
She never told me about this, bro. She never told me about this. This is news to me right
she
now.
She never told me about this. Why should she, you dickhead?
I'm Milton.
And I'm Karina.
And you're watching...
Gaia!
Look, she's leaning side by side. Look at Yuri's face. Look at him.
For you guys.
He's angry, bro.
Damn, she hiding stuff from me. Bro, she never told me about this. I'm surprised. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought something like this.
She's hiding stuff from me. Bro, she's hiding stuff from me. The first thing he goes through is being a victim. She's hiding stuff from me. Or do you think she forgot about this video that was filmed in 2015? And from what I can see on my screen here, it says that the video has 340 something views. Maybe she fucking forgot. Maybe she forgot. But anyway, who gives a fuck that she has to fucking detail to you her list of things that she did since what? When does she have to, how far back does she have to go? Does she have to go back to high school, elementary school, like nursery? How far back does she have to account for every piece of content she may or may have not done with a man? Or with the opposite sex? Or with a day dem? How far back does she have to go? Come on, to make you secure. Is he the kind of guy that's going to ask his girlfriend, how many people have you slept with? And then he's going to ask her, how many times did you sleep with this person? And then he's going to ask her, what positions did you get into? And then he's going to ask her, did he make you finish? Like, bro, man, like, relax with the, like, why does it matter? I'm with you now. Why does it matter if this guy pulled my hair, this guy choked me, this guy threw me out of a window, this guy had me hanging on the back of a bike? What does it fucking matter? I'm with you now. That's why I never understood guys who were like, oh, I would never date a porn star, I'd never date a prostitute. It's like, bruh, why does it even matter? Okay, you can have your criterias or the kind of women that you like, but trying to base your relationship preference or preference on women based on how many quote-unquote bodies they have is insane. Because guess what? We all lie, or we forget. We all lie, or we forget anyway. So if she tells you she's got 5, but then she's got 6 instead, does that make it better or worse? So what does it fucking matter? You're with the person now. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. I swear to God. Yes, there can be an argument to be said around, hey, can you really turn a whore into a housewife? Maybe there's a philosophical, sociological argument behind that. Maybe those tendencies and habits that you've had in that life when you were on the fucking streets and whatever, and you was a city girl, can that be translated into being a wife? I don't know. Me personally, I think so. There is a bit of merit in that. I think sometimes if a woman or if a person has been out there in the streets, living their life, doing what they want to do, there probably is easier for them to transition into being a quote-unquote trad wife. I think so. oddly enough, because you've actually gone through your city, your phase. It's like guys and girls who do like drugs and drink early on in life. I sometimes think, as destructive and as bad as that can be for your, you know, developing brain, I think actually having the option to drink, smoke, do all these type of drugs when you're young and having parents that let you kind of do those type of things can kind of get out of your system. Now, it's a tricky one because you can end up being a drug addict or end up being someone that kind of like leaves it in your mid-20s or early 30s and stuff, and then suddenly now you're kind of moved on and you've got a family. But I think it's quite important. But again, case by case. And again, it doesn't fucking matter, right? It's the past. It's the fucking past. It doesn't matter when what you're doing in the present. So him getting annoyed that his girlfriend didn't tell him when they started dating about a video that she recorded in 2015 that has 340 views, that she's sitting next to a guy that might be gay, is insane. Why do you care? Even if he wasn't gay, even if he had his tongue down her fucking throat, it's 2015. Grow some fucking balls, bro. Why are you so fucking jealous of this? Why are you so possessive? Like, rah, Ted, bro. This is what controlling abusive behavior looks like. She has to tell you what she did in 2015. I don't even remember where I was in 2015. I don't know what I wore. I don't know what I looked like. No idea. No idea. You want her to remember some content she made with some guy? Shut up.
She never told me this. I'm finna crash out.
And we're gonna talk about it.
Wake her ass up. That's crazy.
She never told me that. I'm gonna crash out. I'm gonna wake her ass up. Look at this guy. He's actually calling on the phone. Look at this Karen. Look at this guy. He looks like that guy. What's that meme? You know that meme, right? You know that meme? What's that meme? He looks like this guy. I'm gonna get it, right? He looks like both of these memes, right? Let me get it on my phone so I can show you. Let me show you this meme. He looks like this guy. In that picture, doesn't he look like this guy? Doesn't he look like that guy? Isn't that Yuri? Isn't that Yuri right there? He looks like that guy, and he looks like this guy. this woman. He looks like that guy, and this woman here, right? Doesn't he look like that? Look. Doesn't Yuri also look like this woman too? That's Yuri right now on the phone. That's Yuri. That is Yuri calling his girlfriend. Were you with some man in 2015? Yeah, a man. In 2015. You were sitting next to a man in 2015. Were you sitting next to a man who's also sitting next to another girl in 2015? Where were you in 2015? Shut up!
It was wild, yeah, bro. She never told me this.
She never told me.
How are you not gonna tell me you did? Oh, so convenient.
Look, I love how you try to look. Such a bitch. Oh, you know what I hate? And I'm gonna say this with my full chest. I fucking hate bitch made boys. There's nothing that annoys me more than bitch made female tendency boys, because I'm a big believer in men being men and women being women. Don't give me no bitch shit if you're a man. If you're a man and you give me bitch shit, I'ma slap you in the face. I hate it. It's annoying. Whinging, complaining, gaslighting, bickering, being petty. I fucking hate it. It stinks. That's why I stopped listening to Joe Budden podcast. Because I hate that shit. He's got those kind of tendencies, those kind of bitchy, gaslighty things. You know the kind of person I hate? Listen to this. I hate the kind of guy that enjoys arguing with a woman, enjoys kind of like bringing her down, making her feel little, making her feel dumb, getting into her head. That's bitch made shit. That's what women should do to women, right? Or the gay should do to the gay. Like, leave it for them. Men should just not be like that. You should be logical, right? You should be rational. You should be fucking even killed. That's what you should be. That's your role. Let them do that stuff because they do that stuff the best. When we watch Housewives, right? Or when we watch fucking Bad Girls Club, why do you watch that shit? Because it's full of gays and women fucking bickering, and then they do it amazingly. They're like the Olympic level of fucking gaslighting and arguing and being petty and, you know, whatever. But men shouldn't do that. I don't see a bunch of dudes on the fucking, yeah, but when we were in a bar, right, and I said I wanted another drink, why do you go to the toilet? Why didn't you buy me an emoji? Because I've got you around. Shut up, man. Bitch shit. Complaining about this shit, man. But I want to hear some girls complain about it, for sure. I'm going to sit down there and watch the Real Housewives of Pontiac do that shit. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to watch Bad Boys come and watch the gay guys on there do that shit. Yeah, for sure. But I don't want no self-respecting person that calls themselves straight to sit there and be like, why didn't you tell me about some video that you filmed in 2015? Riley! Come on, she was holding me! Fucking hell.
You're on speaker now, by the way, but that's weird. Oh, that's weird.
Imagine that. Imagine calling your girlfriend midstream to complain about a video she made in 2015 and then not telling her as she gets on the phone that she's on fucking live stream. Great. What a great, considerate boyfriend. Oh, by the way, you're on live stream. As if like he's got like a... Oh, by the way, I'm going to call you... Oh, by the way, what's your manager's number? What's the manager's head office? By the way, you're being recorded. By the way, I'm live on Instagram right now. By the way, we're live. By the way, we're live on Instagram. Say hi. Say hi. We're live on Instagram. We're live on Instagram. Say hi. Bitch.
That you never told me this.
I literally forgot about that. I don't know how they found that. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, look at wave. Oh, I hate when you wave his hand as well. Wave his fucking hand, you fucking donut. He's 30 years old. He's 30 years old, bro. And you know what's even more infuriating about this? This kid is Russian. Not, he was born in America with Russian parents. He was born in fucking Russia. He's Russian, brother. You think Russians are fucking badasses. Stoic. Emotionally fucking even killed. Not easily shaken, right? You'd imagine. Obviously, when they get home, they might fucking hit their girlfriend with fucking elbows and shit. But they're fucking, you know, strong guys. Strong. And let the women be women. They don't get involved in no bitch shit. If there's a problem, we throw hands. We light each other up with fucking lighter fluid. We go to fucking concert halls and we spray up the fucking building and shit. You know what I mean? They're serious guys. Or when they catch a fucking, the terrorists, they fucking beat them up. Leave them bloody and blue, missing ears and shit, looking like Elephant Man. That's what Russian guys are about. Standing on business. He's Russian, allegedly. Look how bitch made he is, bro. Look how bitch made he is, bro. Come on, man. This is what LA does to you. This is what LA does to you when you're involved in the content world. When you go to LA and you're involved in the content world, this is what it does to you. It bitches you up.
You can watch it. I don't care.
I know how you would react if you like if the Chad donated something like this. You'd be like, why wouldn't you tell me this? Blah blah whatever. I would not hear the end of this.
Hypothetical arguments.
Okay.
Address the issue. and that's the thing. You know what? Let me be somewhat charitable. Big up Fyodor. Appreciate Fyodor.
Yuri is a Russian agent made to turn us Yankees into betas.
100%. And I don't even like to throw out the term like beta and alpha male. I don't like to throw it out because I think it's fucking nonsense. Especially nowadays, the alpha male kind of tag has been like bastardized and cheapened by all these fucking red pill, wannabe Lothario fucking guys who think they're cool and hot stuff because they make money online and they degrade women on, you know, do these panel shows where they sit around degrading women and shit and like making them feel dumb by like using big words. That's not alpha male stuff. That isn't alpha male shit at all. So I don't even want to get into conversation about beta or alpha male at all. But if you want to describe somebody that does fit into that category of being a beta male, this is exactly what I kind of talk. I think about this type of person: condescending, obnoxious, petty, vindictive, manipulative, argumentative, just a real cunt of a guy. And the thing about it as well that I don't like about people like this, right? Let me cut him some slack. If you have a problem with your girl hanging out with other men, perfectly fine. As a preference, as like, I would prefer it if my girl isn't texting with like dudes or like hanging out with dudes on her own. I just wouldn't be comfortable with that. In the same way, and a girl wouldn't be comfortable with you hanging out or talking to other women that aren't her. Cool. But be clear about that. Be clear with your partner. That's what you should be doing as a man. Communication. You should be asking your girlfriend, hey, what do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. I'm not sure what I want. Then you should be clear and say, okay, here's some options. As a man, that's why you lead. Here's some options. Like, oh, I don't know what to pick. Here's some options. Give some suggestions. And then you kind of get to it, but you're the one. You're not kind of being like, oh, why can't you pick? You're so dumb. No. That's what bitches do. You come with a solution. You try and work it out. You try and reason with your girlfriend. You try and meet her where she's at. You try and understand her concerns, but you're always leading. Cool. Amazing. In this situation, if you have an issue with her hanging around the other guys, just be clear. And even in this situation, just say, hey, oh man, that's fucking annoyed, man. What the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this guy? How come you... Why didn't you tell me about this video? This kind of makes me feel whatever. Just be honest with your fucking emotions and shit. None of this kind of trip, like, he's almost trying to trip her up to like, why don't you tell me? As if it's like, as if she did it vindictively. As if she did it like purposefully. Oh, you didn't tell me about this thing. As if she's hiding... She's hiding that she had sex with someone on a holiday. I was like, shut up.
I'm surprised you didn't tell me this. What do you mean, thanks? I'm surprised you never told me this. This is crazy.
Something happened in 2015.
In the chat.
Thanks for embarrassing me. That's
exactly. It's embarrassing, Riley.
It's embarrassing for her, not me.
Oh my God. Look at the smile. The little fucking... And the thing about him as well, he'd never do that to a man. He never talked like this to a guy. That's the thing that's really bitch made about people. Is guys like this, it's not the same. Yuri's not this person, but just leave, hear me out. That's why most of us in the world, we fucking despise and hate people that abuse women, especially people that hit women. Because we know more than likely, 9 times out of 10, there are those, you know, Aaron Hernandez that exists, right? But for the most part, most men who hit women would never have the same energy for a dude. Ever. Ever in a million years. So the fact that this guy's acting the way that he's doing now to this girl, knowing that he can easily manipulate her and abuse her this way, is the clearest example you need of how much of a bitch he is. Don't get me wrong, the guy is way cuter than him. Maybe that's gonna be another reason, right? Yeah, no diddy, but this guy is clearly way more gifted in the face than Yuri is. Maybe that's where kind of a little bit of the insecurity comes from, right? He's staring dead onto the camera, symmetry's there, eyebrows on fleek, hair all gelled up in one way, nice trimmed beard, right? He looks well put together. So maybe that's part of the issue in there. You're like, rah. It's like finding out your ex kind of dated some guy in the military or something. You're like, you almost feel a little bit emasculated. He dated some military guy. You're like, oh shit. Maybe that's why.
It gets so that extreme that it's just hilarious. Basically, this video is just like our comeback video since we haven't made a video in like 5 million years.
And they made videos before.
You see this, and you know what's weird about this video? It sounds like to me this channel was like a channel set up by this guy, or maybe the free. You remember back in the day, there was a lot of like, we don't have it anymore now because people now do like podcasts and stuff. But before on YouTube, there was this trend of like people like this sitting on couches, almost like doing a story time, and they do it together. That was like a YouTube kind of trend content wise. Oh my God, do you remember the time we went to Tulum? Oh yeah, that's so stupid. Oh, do you remember that time we fell in the pool? Oh yeah. And you kind of contribute to it. That was kind of the style of it. And sometimes we'd be a group of, you know, mixed people, two boys, two girls, whatever. This is what it feels like. It doesn't even feel like a video where he's getting on camera and he's asking them, oh, what's your favorite position? All these type of sexual things. It's not even that kind of video. It's just a couple of friends sitting on the couch talking about shit and having some good times and LOLs and ha-ha-hees. Why would you get so fucking insecure over this?
I'm just finding out about this. This is crazy.
And like, what do you guys want to see? Yeah, I don't know. Like, we have no ideas.
We're failures.
That. I don't care. I feel the type of way right now. How are you not going to tell me that, bro? What the fuck? That's weird.
He's so annoyed. Look how annoyed he is. He's so annoyed. Look how annoyed he is. Oh, she's back home. She's back. Riley's back. Now it's about to get really hot. Riley's back. Let's see how he reacts now.
On stream, you could come in here. I'm gonna go talk to you on stream. I'll just end.
And of course, he's gonna leave the camera on.
Stream here. I don't want to end the stream because this is bullshit, bro. I don't care, bro. If she wants to, like, hide stuff or, like, not tell me about stuff, that's up to her. I don't care.
Hide, end the stream. Hide stuff? What's she hiding?
Bullshit. I don't care.
So he feels like anything he doesn't know about his girlfriend from, like, 10 years ago plus is her hiding it because she didn't mention it. Oh, yeah, this one time when, like, come on, bro. Big up Theodore.
Yuri looks like Smeagol if he won a $500 gift card to PacSun.
Yuri's a fucking cunt. That's what he is. He's a fucking cunt.
I'm gonna continue to be on stream and have a good night. I'm not gonna end this shit. Angry texts are coming. I should be sending the angry texts. What the fuck? What do you mean angry texts are coming? That should be coming for me.
Why should you be angry? Why? Does she have to tell you everything? Does she have to recite every fucking experience, every interaction with another man? Like, before, what are you talking about? Like, this, honestly, I don't know. I don't know how this guy's brain thinks. Like, if anything, like, at least try and pretend like you're not bothered. Pretend, like, acting this bothered is actually a bad thing. You would imagine, especially in public. Like, at least pretend you're not bothered and then maybe rage in private. But, like, you just look so bitch made.
Explain myself, which is really funny.
Oh,
annoying.
No.
Why won't you tell me about that?
First of all, I totally...
And she comes in her 90 as well. She's like, he's probably more annoyed about that, right? Yuri's probably more annoyed that she sat down wearing her 90, right? And last loose touch of pajama pants. He's probably more annoyed that she's showing her cleavage than by her talking, because he just hates her showing any part of her body on the camera, right? If Yuri could put Riley in a burqa, he definitely would. If Yuri had the ability to put her in a burqa without actually, you know, converting, he definitely would.
About that, you can.
That's
look
convenient.
You've
gotten mad at me for telling, for like things popping up, and you're like, oh, how would you not
Yuri,
tell me this before?
Truly, honestly, to God, forgot about that because it was so long ago. We never made it a serious thing. We filmed like two things.
We started TED Talks together, and we like talked about being on a podcast, and you're like, I've never done anything like this before.
That wasn't
so
a
it's
podcast.
Like people are saying like, oh, Yuri, why are you making a big deal? What's a big deal? Is it feels like I've been lied to.
He feels like he's been lied to because she didn't remember a piece of content that she recorded in 2015. Nah, this is fucking insane. Just because it includes a guy, by the way. If that guy wasn't there, he wouldn't have minded. But because that guy was there sitting in between his girlfriend and the other girl, suddenly that's an issue now. What the fuck is this guy talking about? Like,
it feels like.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, do you know what, you know what I think is going on here and why she's a bit gagged? You know what I think is going on here? What's the subtext? There is a narrative on the No Jumper fucking streams. No, No Jumper Reddit going on. That allegedly, the reason why he has this kind of weird, almost like grip and control on Riley, his girlfriend's life and shit, and he's a bit manipulative and controlling, is because she admitted later on in the relationship that she might have cheated. Or that she did cheat. Something like that. I think that's what happened. And I think because of that, you know, he obviously stayed with her, and I think he kind of holds it over her head as a way to kind of control her. That's what I've heard. Again, not sure if it's true, who gives a fuck if it isn't, but that might be some reason why they have this weird, tense relationship at times on camera all the time, where it's like, she can't really say what she wants to say, because he's going to give her that look, like, you know what I mean? Like, you fuck somebody else, you fucking bitch, you fucking whore, right? And, you know, he kind of always kind of looks at her like a little bit, you know, with a little bit of contempt, a little bit. There's that thing going on there. But obviously he doesn't want to let go of her because he's like, you know, I'm not going to get anybody else if I break up with her type of thing. Maybe there's that kind of thinking going in there. But I think that's what might be the subtext that's kind of playing on here. Maybe.
I wasn't lying to you. I genuinely forgot about it because it was never a serious thing.
I don't even know who those people are. You
that's
even
my
told
friend
me.
Karina.
Cool.
And that's my friend Dalton, my gay friend Dalton. You can clearly
obviously, but I'm glad I'm learning this through someone in the chat 4 years later into our relationship.
Oh my God, he's still bothered. You know what's even weird about this? We got it completely wrong. He's not bothered that the guy is a guy, even though he's gay. He's just bothered that he doesn't know every single part of his girlfriend's history. And he's only learning about that video now. That's actually even worse. It would be somewhat understandable if he was more bothered about the guy. Cool. Even though he's gay, you have your little fragile ego thing going on there. But he's more bothered about that she didn't remember to tell him about that piece of content. Can you imagine how controlling you have to be? Can you imagine how much of a manipulative piece of shit you have to be bothered that someone didn't tell you a precise detail about their life however many years ago before you got together? What a piece of shit.
I don't even know how they fucking found that. I don't even know that that was out there.
So you're relying on the fact that I would not find that out.
How am I lying?
No, I'm saying you're relying on the fact that I would not find that out.
Why is it a big deal?
It's not a lie. I love how he's twisting. So if you don't remember something, it's a lie. Yuri's brain is fucking weird. I didn't remember not to tell you. Or to tell you, sorry, to tell you. That doesn't mean it's a lie. It just means I didn't remember because it's not that significant. Or I just didn't remember. What the fuck? Do you even remember what you fucking did this time last year on this specific date? No. Yourself. So how much more somebody else? I don't know. Whatever.
Stupid video. But you're like, oh, I can't believe you found that. You should have never seen that.
When did I ever say that? When did I say that at all?
Exactly.
I never said that.
Good girl, Riley. Good girl. See, he tried to do that classic manipulative tactic where you kind of put words in somebody's mouth. And like, you know, try and use that way, but she's clever enough to kind of clock it. Hey, I didn't actually say those words that you said. You're saying that thing.
It's an embarrassing video. I'm literally in high school. Like, that's awkward and embarrassing.
Had I known about it, I would have been like, oh, this is the
video. Well, had I known about it, what would you have done? Would you have broken up with her if you'd known about it? Of course you wouldn't. Shut up, man.
Riley, I forgot. I don't even know that it's on the internet, Yuri. And you're just like not believing me, and it's really sad.
I do believe you, I guess, but it's like...
I guess. He's such a bitch. He knows he's being a bitch, but he can't. You know what's funny about this? He knows he's being a bitch, but he can't help it. It's just in him. It's not on him. You know? As they say, it's in him. It's not on him. He can't help it. He knows he looks like a fucking idiot. He knows he looks embarrassing. He knows this is petty and unnecessary and not important, but he just can't help not be annoyed. It's just at his core. He just cannot help not being a fucking bitch. He can't help it.
Like you like just don't remember, like, oh yeah, we did this thing before.
I was never on a podcast.
To be fair as well, I think he's also being a little bit annoyed at her mock. She's got that face that girls do with, like, what, like that mocking face, right? That like confused face, but she's probably annoying him a lot as well. You can imagine it's probably tearing her apart. He probably wants to shove his fist straight through her fucking face. You can just tell, isn't it?
I get it. YouTube like that. I made a video before on YouTube.
Exactly. I'm just gonna stream, guys.
That's so stupid.
Everyone have a good night. Peace.
Okay, then there's that video, and then there's one more to really put the icing on the cake here. There's one more video here to put the icing on the cake before I end this lovely, 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 lovely fucking pod. Because I think this end might really, might tickle a lot of your flipping feathers. Because the end was absolutely beautiful. So they get on stream together. He obviously has a bit of a crash out moment. But the end, when he finds out people are clowning him on stream, the next day is absolutely amusing because it went a bit viral. I think Logan Paul's friend, what's his name, Mike, left a comment and called him a bum, I think, or something else underneath the comment. So it's gone quite viral online. So now he knows he's the butt of the joke online, which is funny because, you know, on my particular side of the internet, I've been commenting a lot on his relationship with Riley and how toxic it is and how much of a bitch he is. But it's just a little niche thing. Now he's kind of been captured by the global audience, right? So I used to pray for days like this. I used to pray for days like this where Yuri would get laughed at for being a bitch and for treating his girlfriend badly on stream. It's just fucking hilarious. Watch this clip.
While Poetic Flacco is reacting to you on YouTube, you are the center of attention on his stream. Let's rate go, 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 everyone, man the oranges.
Big up, Andrew Ranger.
Yuri equals a messy bee who loves drama. He's not here to make friends. Insert generic reality TV statement.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Look at him. Look how annoyed he is.
Monk, bro.
Look how annoyed he is. Because Flacco's online streaming and reacting to it. Look how annoyed he is. He's raging. What's Flacco saying about him? Oh, this is nice, isn't it? It's a bit of an inception going on here, right? A reaction. But let's see what Poetic Flacco has to say about this on the left here, as you can see here, right? This fat lump of shit. Let's see what he has to say.
Damn, she hiding stuff from me.
He's muted. Come on. You unmute yourself, bro. Don't be scared. Unmute yourself. Why is he muted himself for?
Yo, my bad. Hold on 1 second. Yo, guys, my bad. 1 second, dude.
What's he doing?
Intermission. The intermission. Look, the intermission. Come on, Flacco. Where are you, bro? There, he's back now. There we go. He's back now. He's back. Come on, Yuri. Come on, Yuri. Give us it. Let's hear it. Cry. Let's hear him cry. Look, he's really annoyed. He's really, really annoyed. Contemplating his thoughts. Looking at the stream chat, people dunking on him. Playing some somber, conscious rap in the background. Staring into the camera, not saying a single word. Long thoughts racing through his head. Should he kick his girlfriend down the stairs? Slap her in the face with a frying pan? Scream at her again? Demean her? Label her a whore for recording content with a man? Right? He's thinking so many things to do here. He's probably Googling domestic abuse fucking sentences, right? He's probably looking at old court cases to see what punishment he would get.
Flacco's done it before. Look, it's not the first time.
He's annoyed, isn't it? He's really annoyed.
He's literally in a Imagine if he's in the... Imagine how he must have reacted when he found out she cheated on him. But that must be a really good thing about if you're a manipulator. You use every opportunity to manipulate more. So maybe he was really annoyed and emotionally kind of distraught, but his manipulation tendencies took over. He was like, you know what? This is a good chance to kind of get real control on her. And he kind of stamped his authority there. Maybe that's what happened.
Let's see what the chat's saying.
He's still annoyed. Look, he's still annoyed. He can't help it. Flocky bringing you views, bro. Take a mental health day, my guy, on his stream chat. When people watching you go viral, just part of the game. Look, he can't handle it. He can't handle the comments. Look at him. He can't handle it. He's breaking. He's crumbling.
Kyrie Irving with The Rock dropped a bag of $20. Bro, I really don't give a fuck. I just want to get caught up. Can I please get a 60 seconds version of the drama that has been going on the last 2 days?
Nope.
Kyrie Irving with The Rock. I appreciate you so much for the $20 dono. Guys, I think...
He's going on break.
Get off stream.
He's too angry. Look. Prayer hands in the chat.
I think that's my best decision.
Prayer hands in the chat.
Kyrie Irving with The Rock. I appreciate you so much.
Prayer hands in the chat. Look.
I'm super sorry, bro, but I think that's the best decision right now.
He can't handle it.
I'll see you guys back live tomorrow.
He can't handle it.
It's just... This is not good right now. I don't know, bro.
Oh, I can't. God almighty.
I just have too much anxiety.
I knew the hands would go up. The hands would go up.
I can't even stream, bro.
I have too much anxiety. Honestly, the word anxiety, the term mental health have been overused nowadays. Everyone's got fucking anxiety, undiagnosed. Depression, undiagnosed. Suffering from mental health issues, unspecified. Okay, cool. Anxiety because you found out your girlfriend recorded content with a dude in fucking what? Like 2015. Come on. That's not anxiety, bro. That's called insecurity. That's called having a fragile ego. That's what it's actually called. Not anxiety.
All right. I'll see you guys. Peace.
Oh, there we go. And he ended it. That was Yuri's face at the end. Depressed. No, depressed looking, sullen, somber at the end. Because he found out his girlfriend had not told him about some content or not remembered to tell him about some content she recorded in 2015. Not even not told him, because that's lending into his fucking opinion that everything that he doesn't know is a fucking lie. But yeah, incredible. Incredible content. Incredible to see. Again, a lesson out there to all men. Don't be a bitch. Simple as that. Just don't be a bitch. It's not really that difficult. And if you are a bitch, at least try and hide it, you know? At least try and pretend you're not one. You know? Don't be so blatant with your bitch tendencies. And maybe life will be a lot better for you. But again, what do I know? What do I know? Anyway, my friends, that has been it. Episode number 756 of the Yakuza Zynga Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a pleasure to have your company, as per usual. Always a pleasure, never ever a chore. For those of you listening to the audio side of the pod, you will hear my tune of the day playing right now underneath my voice, which will definitely be, let me say slimed in, let me not say type shit because everyone's doing that. My tune of the day today will be Future and Metro Boomin. The track will be slimed in and playing underneath my voice now right now. You'll hear it, you'll love it. And of course, check out the album on all digital streaming platforms. Links to everything regarding me can be found in the descriptions. And I'll be seeing you guys again very, very soon. Take care, everybody. Peace. All your hoes getting slammed out. The AP store, we buy them out. Money on money, go hit first. All my hoes wear Chanel sandals. White on your toe, that's good manners. Sinead Nate Black going bandana. All my hoes take the whole thing. High top, Maybach, cocaine. 2025 on a lit trip. Scorching fire, no pirate. Hit me on WhatsApp, direct. Kit Kat pack went chocolate. Pad that water, I train her. Pass that bag, I train her. Cuban Liz Link, I train her. She throwing on Rackies, I train her. All my hoes, they gang members. All these pills got cane in them. Dog food probably got pain in them. Curb that goofy, he ain't him. Told you these hoes on my time. Put them on ice, go Einstein. Yeah, yeah. All my hoes getting slimed in. Niggas ain't on no slimy shit. All my hoes from Thailand. Holdin' on a nigga out of water wrist. All my hoes in a wide body. Pick my hoe up in a wide body. Little bit of hoe, I sign shit. Yeah, yeah. Ask these niggas who run shit. Little bit of hoe, I sign shit. All my whole love convicts. Ain't no love, we chalk shit. Passport stamp exhausted. Lounge on an island, a bad one. Sand on the beach, I bag one. Walk through the store like ransom. Clutching the gat, go blast it. Benjamin Franks, he lashed it. Bury your dog, casket. Man out the mall, trapping. Go against the laws, 1000%. Squeezing on style, 1000%. It's over, you fall, 1000%. Stand over your dog, 1000%. I'm over this shit, 1000%. I'm slamming out shit 1000%. I get it, I print it 1000%. Bitch, love how I'm living 1000%.
I'm just on some slime shit. I'm back on that slime stuff, you know what I'm saying? I don't care nothing about this superstardom shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. All my hoes getting slimed in. Niggas ain't on no slime shit. All my hoes from Thailand. Holdin' on a nigga out of water wrist. All my hoes in a wide body. Pick my hoe up in a wide body.